Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
It is May. It's May 3rd, 2025.
It is May.
This year of the dumpster fire is moving sort of fastish, but it feels like 5,000 years.
I'm going to say it's moving fast, but feels slow at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yep, definitely.
Agreed. So everybody have a nice weekend?
Yeah. Well, I think organized this is books.
Yeah. Amanda claims to be getting rid of books.
No, Amanda claims that she's not buying more books before she gets rid of some. And we all know that's a big fat lie.
But I did get rid of some. I took some to the local bookstore and got buyback credit, and I did not buy anything. I just left the credit there. I have a batch that are going that's going to Lindsay. I have one that I've been supposed to send to Becky for like 2 weeks. I am getting rid of some, but I also bought a new bookcase.
Oh, fancy. I have bookstore t-shirts for everybody that wanted one. Those will go out in the mail this week. I worked at the bookstore yesterday.
How was that?
It was fun. It was really fun. There's a big craft show the first weekend in May here in town. So she had the mobile store at the craft store.
Then
I did the brick and mortar store for the first half of the day. And then Kara came in afterwards, and it was fun. Super excited. I started the day with 10 copies of Tyler Page's Good for Her, which is the first book that 1852 sold to Trad. And Britt started the day with 10 copies.
Okay.
And they're all gone. They were all gone by 1:15 yesterday.
I got mine because I pre-ordered it. It's so pretty in person.
They're so pretty. So... anyway,
I was showing the girl tonight or today because we were moving some stuff around and I was like, look at this one. I was like, you can't read this one yet, but look at it. She's like, that one's really nice.
It's really pretty. So that was exciting.
So my office, which is a blank shell of a room, is almost completely empty. So we can almost, like, we're almost ready to start building.
Are you drywalling and putting walls
We're going to drywall, and Michael's going to do some custom shelves, and we were kind of figuring out how to, like, configure it, so.
Nice, fun.
Nice.
Jenny, did you work this weekend?
Both Saturday and Sunday, so, yeah.
Good times.
I helped somebody with the microfilm, like. Apparently, no one else in the building knew how to do it. And I was like, hey, I didn't know how to do that. Yeah,
there's some microfilm that hasn't been digitized. Most libraries still have that's microfilm. So
cool. Starts at 1999.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's anyway. Michael put a movie on today that was made in 2001. And as I'm watching, I'm saying, God, this movie looks really old. And then it made me think about, like, it just looked old. Like, the quality of the film looked old. And it made me think about, like, when we were kids and we'd, in the 90s, and you'd watch a movie from, like, the early 70s, it looked old, right? Like, it just didn't look current. And then I was like, wow, I am old.
So we will watch movies from like the 80s, 90s, or even like early 2000s. And no joke, the kids, if it there's any special effects, the kids are like, wow, that's really bad. I was like, you have to remember, this was cutting edge. Like when these movies were made, like this was amazing when these came out. And yes, it is very like janky now, but you figure at the time it was great.
Yeah.
Because we were watching Lord of the Rings. As nerds do, and both of them were like, you can definitely tell this is CGI. I'm like, it was cutting edge. It was very fancy when we watched it the first time around. Stop making fun of our movie.
Epic and IMAX and big.
The budget was like insane on that movie too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So it's good that we're talking about.
Wouldn't have now if we didn't have them.
It's good that we're talking about old things because we're kind of, we're going
old.
We're going old school tonight. today we're hopping into the romance time machine and heading back to 2016. And actually, I was going to be like, we're jumping into the hot tub for hot tub time machine, like, ooh, that would have been a good reference.
One. Or into
I
the thought, DeLorean.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, hot tub time machine. I think that's that such a funny movie. Like, mm-hmm. You know. So funny. So anyway, a simpler time. Was it a chaotic time? A time when our TBRs were absolutely out of control or not out of control? Our taste in fictional men, was it questionable? Yes, I read a lot of questionable books even back then.
I think I read more questionable books now.
You think you read more questionable now?
I mean, you guys know what I read.
Right.
I definitely do.
So there's, you know, this is the era that is post 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon, tapering off of the market a little bit. The indie boom starts in 2000. Well, the indie boom started before, but it's at its height and saturation in 2016. So it kind of, 2016 is the year that they consider the peak of everything. So peak of romance publishing, peak of the indie publishing, big tropes, big emotions, big boyfriends. So we're going to talk about all those things. Some of the romances that were the most top performing, that this is part of the reason that we had to get book scanned today. These four books were the top four performing romance books in 2016. And I'm going to wait a minute in the comments, because you all can see it in the doc. In the comments, what books do you think were the top performing romance books in 2016?
Can I make a small comment?
Yeah.
I have not read any of these four.
I've only read one, and I read it this week.
I've read all four.
None. Zero.
I've read two out of the four.
Two out of the four. Jenny, have you read any of these?
Well, I think.
Oh. Jenny's lagging a little bit. She's having internet lags.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jen Ellen.
Jen Ellen says the hating game.
Jen Ellen, your nerd is showing.
No Clue, maybe Christina Lauren, that's what Karen guesses.
Guess, Karen.
Jenny, are you coming back online now?
She's trying.
She's got herself muted.
Okay. Okay, so I'll give us the four top performing romance books of 2016. The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. Beautiful Player by Christina Lauren, which was one that eventually got picked up by traditional publishing. It was indie published and became a traditional published book. The Deal by L. Kennedy, another one that started indie, got picked up for traditional. And The Deal comes out, 2 weeks it comes out on Prime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And then Nuts by Alice Clayton. And that was the follow-up book one to her series, The Wallbanger.
No.
Did anybody read Wallbanger? It came out right after 50 Shades of Grey. It was supposed to be like as sexy, but it was traditionally published and it really wasn't as sexy.
Contemporary romance was not on my radar at all.
In 2016?
This time frame for a large chunk. Probably not till 2022.
Interesting. Jenny, are you back? Maybe.
No. I was telling Justin about this tonight as we were going to pick up pizza for dinner. And he goes, were you even reading in 2016? And I was like, I was reading, but I had a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I did not have time.
No.
No. And my 2016, it's really interesting. So I was solely a library reader. I did not have Kindle Unlimited then, because 2016 going into 2017, that was the year we listed Chris for liver transplant. And I was reading on my phone. And that is when I realized that I could not read on my phone. It was later in 2017
that
I realized.
That's when you got the Nook.
No, I had the Nook previous, and then I had gotten my Nook broke, and I just started reading on the apps on my phone. And it was really convenient because I could download a book from Libby onto my phone and read it right within the app when we were at the hospital. It was great. But by the end of 2017, that's when all the ocular migraines started. And the doctor's like, you have to stop reading on your phone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, so I was going through my Goodreads for 2016, and the majority of my Goodreads is I didn't have anything. But then I go over to my Libby, and you can scroll back in Libby to see your downloads and your usage. And there's probably 400 books in 2016 that I read.
Yeah, so 2016, I had a five-year-old and a three-year-old. Well, five and two, depending on the time of the year. But yeah, so I mean, I was reading during nap time in preschool.
Yeah, I got my Kindle June of that year, but I had a Sony Reader before that. I have a pretty good idea what I was reading.
The Sony Reader.
Yeah, I had a, so I have a pretty good idea what I was reading before I got the Kindle, because it's all roughly the same. But I also got married this year too, and I'm actually shocked at the number of books I read in the second half of the year, because we got married in the second half of the year, and I was like, oh, that's stress reading.
Pure escapism.
Yeah, along with other things, but yeah.
I had a Kindle Fire, and then like the librarian taught me how to download Libby, but now this is going to crack all of you up. I only read paperbacks. And I went down in the basement and grabbed all of my old books.
Oh my gosh.
So these are like the books that I was reading.
That's so crazy.
So I had Crossfire, so Sylvia Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kristen Hanna, Maya Banks, Chanel Cleeton, like books like that.
So I started reading on my like my iPad and my phone, because I didn't get my first Kindle till 2017. But before that, like, I borrowed a ton of books from the library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because like we went for story time, and then like we'd get the go through and get the kids' books. And I'd like on like, because our children's library is in the basement, and it's actually really big. And then we go upstairs and I check out the books, and then like we'd walk home because we lived in town where the library is, so we could walk to everything. But yeah, I borrowed books for the longest time. But then like I did start reading more on like the like when Nora was a baby, because I dropped the books on her head.
Oh, Christopher Burrier took a lot of mass markets to the noggin.
Yeah.
Jenny, are you back online?
I think Jenny is frozen. Oh no,
yeah. We lost her.
We lost her.
It's just one of those nights.
It is just one of those nights. So let's just talk about this. To fully set the scene, the biggest movie of the year in 2016 was Captain America: Civil War.
Still haven't seen it.
Which honestly tracks, because we're also out here choosing sides right now. So let's talk about what we were reading, what we loved, and what might be just a little afraid to revisit. Because that's another piece. 2016 books, do they hold up to 2026?
I still reread large portions of my list.
Okay, so biggest trends in 2016, there was what they considered the billionaire hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Post 50 Shades of Grey world, still dominating but evolving. In 2016, there was a decrease in fantasy being published, but you got more emotional damage and redemption. So there were less fantasy titles than there were romance titles. And that was like kind of one of the first times that had happened. Jenny, do you want to tell
us? Fantasy in general.
Just fantasy in general. Not romantasy. Just fantasy in general. Jenny, what were you reading in 2016?
Well, like everyone else, I had little kids. I had three under three for a while.
You did not have time for really anything?
Not much. So for some reason, I really remember reading Layla Hagen on my phone while breastfeeding. I think it was just because they were like super easy to read, and I could read quickly. So
yeah. So big trend subgenres, billionaire boom, the indie KU rise. This is what starts in 2016. Dark romance slowly started to come in. And this is really the start of sports romance. Love Swept at this time, which was a digital only imprint at this time. It really, starting in 2014, but it really hit its height in 2016. It had Sawyer Bennett, Kelly Jameson, Tony Leo, Serena Bowen even wrote under that label for a while, and so did Elle Kennedy. So you saw this hockey romance, and then you had the deal with Elle Kennedy coming out. So sports, hockey romance, J.C. Burton was big 2016. So those were some big movements that we were seeing happen in 2016. It also created the norm of binge reading is the start of that. What we consider binge reading now, one book right after another, every book in a series in a, you know, that's really where it starts is in 2016.
So for reference, The Cold Fury, so Sawyer Bennett, which again, if you haven't read that, we can't be friends, started releasing in 2014. So Alex released in 2014, and then the final one released in 2018.
Yeah. Well, in 2016, I believe, is when they brought Tony Leo on, and 2016 is when I discovered Sawyer Bennett. That was, you know, because they were in Libby. They were in the library, and I just, you know, and found from there.
So you probably went right for, because I did this. I did Sawyer Bennett, and then it recommended the Aces hockey series with Kelly Jameson, and that released right in that time frame also.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in its category, right? Those are short, tight stories. And I could read one of those in a couple hours sitting in a hotel room or in a hospital room with a kid. And they were easy. It's also 2016, not that anyone cares, but I know this. 2016 is also the year that Judith McNaught, her books finally became ebooks. They were not available as digital only books until 2016 or in digital format, you know. Anyway, not that anybody else cares about that, but it mattered to me.
There was probably a lot of like the older authors that like in that 2016, 17, 18, like that hadn't had the like ebook, like they were starting to transfer everything over because more people were starting to read that way.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, I mean, so being in education, I was a reading teacher and people were frustrated that e-readers were such a big thing and that they were, and like a lot of people like flat out refused.
I had a hard time switching over.
I did not.
I didn't.
2010, I got my first Nook. Mike's like, you're going to love this because it's all the books at your fingertips. And I was like, maybe. And I was hesitant, but I got one and I never looked back.
Yeah. Well, once I got it, I was fine. But it was like making that decision to get one because I like the feel of the book. I like holding it. It just.
2012?
What were you going to say, Jenny?
A Sony e-reader in 2012. Yeah.
A Sony.
What were you going to say, Jenny? Funny to me. I think, I don't know if she heard me or not. 2010, Nook, January, February 2010. I was never more excited than I was at that moment.
Yeah.
Jen Allen said she had the Sony e-reader for her first as well.
Lorelei James is another one that published in 2016. So you're going to also 2016, go ahead, Heather.
I just looked up a Sony e-reader, just like whatever, 2 gigabyte of internal storage.
I had a MP3 player that was a little thing that was like
Big. The micro?
Yeah. It was 1 gig. And I remember I was so excited to get 1 gig.
It was super easy too on the reader to take them on and off.
Yes.
Like it was very easy. There was no like having to sort through and delete it like you do off your Kindle. Like I could pop them on and off very easily.
Well, and
yeah, the interface for the Sony stuff was really nice. Yeah.
Well, the Overdrive,
we had the audio ones.
Overdrive and then the Adobe digital thing. I mean, it made it super easy to remove the books and add the books, and that's actually how you had to do it. I don't think it was until like probably 2014, 2015 that it went straight from Libby to your Kindle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took a while before there wasn't that like middle section, essentially.
So we are seeing the rise of dark romance. They put The Beautiful Player by Christina Loren as kind of the start. You had 50 Shades of Grey, and then you got these beautiful, the beautiful series by Christina Loren, where some of the heroes were kind of slightly edgier plots, morally gray, definitely intense sexually. Authors that were everywhere in 2016. Do you guys want this list?
Yeah.
Sure.
Colleen Hoover.
No surprise.
L. Kennedy, Vi Keelan, Penelope Ward, Tessa Bailey, and Sally Thorne. So those were the trendy.
I was reading a lot of like Ruth Cardello and Melody Ann and like all of their billionaires in that span.
Yeah.
I mean, I still like to read them every once in a while. But that's where I was at in that, like.
Yeah, Tessa Bailey was with Entangled. Katie Robert was. Well, no. So Tessa and Katie were dropped from the Entangled category. So 2016 is the time when Entangled took Amara and said, hey, we're not going to publish category anymore. We're going more for full length novels, not category length. And they actually dropped Katie and Tessa. There was a couple others that got dropped in that mess. And that was at the end or beginning of 2015 to the start of 2016 that they were off the label by then. And, you know, then that's when Tessa Bailey started doing her indie stuff in those times. Okay, so what were authors that you felt were unavoidable in 2016?
Well, like in a good way, I would say like Mary Kay Andrews.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one of her books on there for that year.
Yeah, she had like those beach reads, right? So like there was always like this big in Women's Day and all like, you know, there was all those beach read releases right ahead of the summer and people would binge read them.
Yeah. I also think that the culture in 2016 is much different than 2026 because you didn't read your fluffy books all year long. You only talked about
them. It was
more
like a seasonal thing.
From like May till you had to start worrying about back to school, right? Yeah.
Do you think that's because you were on the beach and people were seeing you read it?
I don't know, because see, I'm still convinced that 50 Shades of Grey only did what it did because of when it dropped and people just got iPads.
Yeah.
Because they could read it on their iPads.
And nobody knew what they were reading.
During spring break.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You read the fluffy ones on the beach because like Mary Kay Andrews, like her cover has like a boardwalk and a hat. Right.
Yeah. I don't know, but don't you think that like adults, I remember, you know, people would be like, well, what are you going to read this summer? And I was so floored that people didn't read all year long.
But I think it's just because the summer, it's like people relax more.
Well, people go on vacation. I mean, like families have like traditions where they go, you know, every year they go here for 4th of July or they do something. And like then that allows them
it's time. Like what are you like what books are you taking with you on vacation so it's like that kind of like mentality of like these people are not reading all year long, they're only reading on vacation.
Like I remember bringing a couple, my friend and I, we went to Vegas and I remember bringing like our Sylvia Day books and like we traded them and the book melted like the spine, it just started to fall apart because it was so hot there. But like we sat by the pool and we're reading our Crossfire series and we're like, ask us about this book, and our husbands are like, definitely ask them about that book.
Well, and it was before that, but like when we like Michael's family always did like family vacations, so I was pretty like e-reader for me, so I'd have to pack my books and I would always run out, which shocked them.
Karen brings up Jill Chavez and Lauren Lane. I read so much Lauren Lane out of Libby. I loved her like stiletto series, stiletto and lipstick series, and her Oxford magazine series. I loved those books. But it was, I think 2016 is also the year that I moved from historical to contemporary. That was really the big change. I stopped rereading all the historicals and moved towards contemporary.
I only read, like, Mary King Andrews was, like, really the only, like, probably, like, what you would call contemporary even. But I had, it was all still romantic suspense, and it was a huge paranormal urban fantasy, YA fantasy. I mean, that's all I read all year. Like, I had one that was not.
I read a lot of Jennifer Probst, too. Because she is like one of those authors where, I mean, she's been writing for a long time, but people don't really realize she's been writing for as long as she has.
Yeah. So it's
clearly I had a type 10 years
you
ago.
You had a type. So based on, you know, things that I could dig out, articles and stuff, 2016, a lot of people were using Facebook groups to get their book recs. That you would, you know, that was kind of the height of those, the author Facebook groups, the Facebook parties. I can't tell you how many times I clicked on ads in 2016. I don't know if I just got smarter since then that I don't click on them. But I think a lot of my reading in 2016 was ad driven from Facebook ads.
I was binging. Like, I would find an author and I would binge, and then I would go to another similar author that was recommended. Like, I binged hard in 2016.
2016 is
awesome. I always binge hard.
Yeah, but it was, this was like more like a whole lot of authors, because before it would be like, I would do like all my Nora Roberts or whatever. And, but you know, I had binged some when I got my e-reader, but I remember this year was like, this year was a big start of the binge for me.
Yeah. But culturally for readers, 2016 is the year that they started binging.
Yeah.
Well, because it was easy. It was easier.
Yeah. Like, it was like access. I didn't have to wait on the next one to come back.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you didn't have to wait for the hold, or you didn't have to drive to the library or walk to the library. Yeah. You could just click and it was there. And it was like,
well, it when just I made it so much easier. The e-readers, and I was checking out all these books on Libby. Like, I remember one of Kelly Jameson's was not available. Like, there was a wait, and I was like, I can't wait. So I had to Google how to buy a book on Amazon.
Heather, you and I had to Google how to share a post to our stories in 2020 or 2019. We're not far off.
I mean, I was already in the heyday of my Amazon, because the diapers would show up at the house. So me and Amazon were good friends at that point already.
That's so wild. Because like I don't even know if I have I don't know if I have Amazon.
Oh, we definitely did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did, because like I said, diapers and wipes would just show up at my house.
By 2011, we had stopped like cable television and had gone towards streaming.
Yeah.
Because I quit my job at DirecTV, and so we didn't get free satellite TV anymore.
For free.
Yeah. So out. We were out.
Sayonara. You gotta pay. I'm not doing that.
Right? Okay. Covers.
Wait, was Netflix like still in the mail?
You could do either or. There was streaming in mail, I believe, in 2016.
My kids, like, that's what they say all the time. Like, you're so old, Netflix came in the mail. And I'm like, yes. Yes.
Yeah, Netflix, you could stream. Like, streaming, like, because when Elliot was born, Michael and I, like, streamed Lost. Like, we hadn't watched it when it came out, but like we binge series when he was a newborn, because I mean, what else are you gonna do when you have a newborn? But there was lots of streaming then.
Covers 2016 were hitting their shirtless torso era. And series branding was a big deal. More so than it is even now. Like, you slapped your series name, which you can tell the authors that have been around a while, right? Because they're very clear to make sure that the series has an aesthetic look, and that, like, you know, somewhere on the cover it says, you know, the Aces series with the Aces or whatever, the logo. That was branding for a series really mattered because it helped the binge reader.
Stacy says, I think 2016 feels older than it is.
It does. No, it does
feel like it was a really long time ago, and it wasn't.
Well, for reference, I just looked at to see if I did have Amazon. I did. And then we had iPhone 6s. Okay.
Okay.
We didn't have iPhones yet.
We did. I mean, I got my first iPhone 2010, so like I had an iPhone 3. Have an
iPhone, so.
Jenny still doesn't. We have a green bubble.
We know.
2016 was really the sharpening of the indie split, too. It was definitely, there was a feel of traditional versus indie. I saw somebody mention that all the books seemed to be 99 cents in 2016. And that was kind of a ploy on Amazon.
Yeah.
The indie authors, like it was the heyday of 99 cent books.
Mm-hmm. That's how Penny Reed got her name.
Oh, was the 99 pennies?
Because Penny Reed.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Well, wow. And people don't realize this. And I just told this story to somebody at the bookstore yesterday. So do you know why publishers put books in grocery stores in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s? Do you know why? Because women would have a grocery account set up by their husbands, and they could easily pick up a book
and just add it to
and add it to the grocery without causing any issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we don't have books in grocery stores currently anymore at this moment, who knows what happens with the Supreme Court next week, but you know, women have their own money right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not controlled by men
right now.
Anyway, feeling a little bitter about all of that right now.
That's a whole other.
It's a whole other topic. But that's why you started. So 2016, 2017 was, as grocery stores were remodeling and updating, there was the phase out of books. And instead of books being up by like greeting cards, like in the big box stores, they got their own sections back by media, like by records and CDs and stuff like that. And that was the shift. So anyway, just thought that was interesting. I think
the grocery store by me still has books in it. I don't go into that grocery store unless necessary because my neighbor, well, our old neighbor found a mouse in her bread, so I refuse to shop there.
Okay.
But is it like the local grocery store and they just still have the books from 1985?
I mean, there might still be that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it is old.
But it really took until 2015, 2016, as ebooks became more popular, for grocery stores to realize they didn't need to shelve the books.
Well, because they weren't making any money off of them at that point, probably.
To be honest, so where I lived growing up, I could walk. It was a food town at the time, not a Kroger. It didn't become a Kroger till like the late 90s. But they had a book section. And on Tuesdays, I could walk from my house before I drove down there and buy like the new Jude Devereaux release or, you know, the new Nora Roberts release and get it at my grocery store because that was the closest bookstore. So anyway.
Heather's Googling again.
Do you think the books from 2016 still hold up?
I think some.
Maybe.
Is there any books you would be scared to reread from 2016? Which is funny because like The Deal, which is 2016, is being made into a TV and people are picking it up right now like it's brand spanking new.
Well, she did. There was a redone version. I did read it this week because a friend of mine was like begging me to read it before the show comes out. And I read it and it is updated. It is updated. All of the pop culture is updated.
Okay.
Like it's completely like there's Ted Lasso references. She had,
why? Like
because I think it was, she changed one show to a newer show.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
She had posted something about like updating the some of the stuff.
Yeah.
So I went to look and see if I had that on my Kindle today, and then I opened it and it was on the last page, and I was like, well, apparently I have read this at some point.
I'm actually going to do that now because I don't remember reading it.
Yeah, I don't remember reading it either, but
Well, and it's currently, I did see where it's not in KU right now. It is out wide.
No, I have
I
Zebra on
read
my
in KU
Kindle.
this week.
Did you have it downloaded before?
Like maybe only for a week or two.
I
It's
you
not
might
been
have
that
caught it right
long. You
before it
might caught
came
it right
out
before it
because the
came out.
Chase, which is in that series, is still in KU.
Yeah, I read one and two both in KU. And I read the second one, The Mistake, I think, right after, and it was still in KU.
Okay.
So this must have
No, the
just
Chase is
happened.
not. It's in a different one, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, they
they're
pulled all of
all
the
wide.
off-campus out.
Oh, interesting.
So
Like
you
they're
must have
nine, must have
downloaded.
just happened.
What,
Yeah.
Heather?
They're nine something
Oh,
for their
yeah,
books
because
now.
they're trad now.
Okay, so what was your favorite book from 2016 that you read back in 2016? Can you remember what might have been your most favorite book?
No.
I'm gonna
Yeah.
go with probably a series, and I'm gonna say either Chicago Aces or Cold Fury,
Oh,
because
well,
I found those in 2016.
I think I found them in like 2017.
Oh no, I
So
do own the deal.
it was free, like back like 2021. Like
2020.
I think it
Oh,
was
okay.
free.
I wonder if it would tell me when I purchased it. I'm gonna
June
look it up.
1st,
On the
2020, it
website. I'm
was
real
free.
curious
The
now.
banner will come up on the website.
That's
Yeah.
funny.
I
Yeah,
would say agree.
I
Becky
read
would
like
agree.
so many books. Like I read so many paranormals, but that was the year that I read the Mercy Thompson series by Patricia Briggs, which is one of my favorites. I reread that all the time.
I bought it in 2019.
Yeah.
Haven't read it.
So I would say that like the Patricia Briggs, Mercy Thompson, and then also that was the year that I read An Ember in the Ashes by Saba Tahir,
Okay.
which is still one of my favorites. So those are two. That's YA fantasy though, but
Yep. 2 weeks ago, we read Spring Fever by Mary Kate Andrews.
yeah.
That was a 2016 book. And
Oh,
I
that's
don't
funny.
think it was dated at all.
I read The Weekenders in 2016. That's what showed up on my Amazon. So
So, but I think it kind of depends because there's some Ivy Lane books that I've read that like they came out like 2014, 2015, like her Winters series. Like it started back then. And like I don't feel like those are very dated, but she didn't use a lot of pop culture things. And
yeah.
like the tech that she used, she was kind of vague. Oh, like I'd say they don't text as much.
No.
But it's just like little things like that. But a lot of the books that I read back then, I feel like some of the tech things would be the only thing. But none of the books that I feel like I read then were really like pop culture heavy either.
What's so funny is like I was looking, Penelope Ward's The Roommate was published in 2016. That's one that got picked up for paperback distribution. Like all these 2016 books, if we look, a
Yeah.
bunch of those books that got picked up for paperback distribution are from 2016.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
So it also makes me wonder, and this is just me because I really want these books physically. Do you think that if Love Swept, which is owned by Penguin Random House, would take some of those Love Swept series that are still performing well and said, hey, we're going to print paperbacks for these, do
People
you
would
think
buy
people
them.
would buy them?
Yeah, 1000%.
I would 1,000% buy every single Chicago Aces book.
Yeah.
Literally every
Every
single
Cold
one.
Fury book, I would need them all.
Yes.
I think that there is a large chunk of romance readers who have been reading romance for a long time that would read those, like
But
that
I'm
would
just
buy
saying,
those
do you think
books.
new readers would even pick them up? And the reason I ask is because if we look at what publishing picked up for the last 3 years and that were all 2016 written books.
I don't necessarily know if it would be newer readers because they like a lot of really shitty books, but like older readers
I
would
think
buy
newer
them.
readers would pick it with the right
I
cover.
think newer
Well, that's
readers would pick
true.
them up
They
if they
would.
were available in paperback.
If they were
Yeah.
available in paperback, in the Target, in the Walmart, in the Barnes Noble with the right styling of cover. And
pretty edges.
And I don't even know that you need pretty edges on something like that. But if it's a $10.99, because they're categories, so they're not as long.
Yeah, that's
if it
true.
Was a $9.99, $10.99 paperback.
People would buy them, yeah.
I think people would buy it.
I would say that the paperbacks were very ab. Somebody else had said this in the chat. Like, the ab covers were
all over. It was like the heyday.
This was the heyday of the torso.
Yeah.
And the Deal original covers were all, like, the Offsides campus or whatever was all abs.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Jenny?
I don't think people are looking at, like, the copyright date when they pick up, when they're browsing at a bookstore or the library. And, yeah, they would pick them up.
And the people, so working at the bookstore, the people that come in and they're like, oh, my God, I just read The Deal and it's the best book I ever read. And I'm like, that book is 10 years old.
Yeah.
Like, this is not brand new. And it's, again, we go back to this feeling that newer to romance readers act like they're discovering these, you know, genres for the first time. And we're over here going, yeah, we've been here a minute. We know. But I think it's okay. Like, I've got to embrace the new readers, because without new readers, you know, old readers are dying. Not to be rude or anything, but, you know.
In the literal sense.
In the literal sense, people are dying.
Morbid.
And so, you know, you have, if you want to continue on with success, you've got to find new readers, younger readers. And, you know, it seems that we've talked about it multiple times that a lot of these younger readers want the paperbacks. Yeah. But honestly, if one more girly pop, and I'm going to use that as condescending as it sounds, comes to me and is like, oh my God, have you read The Deal? It's like the best book ever. I'm totally going to pull out my 1980s Valley Girl, like, oh my God. Like, I'm just going full out. Anyway, it's my
petty. Like, actually, if you like this, have you tried?
I can give, I can give you something better.
Iced Out by Veronica Eden. I own 17 copies of it. Did I tell you guys what I did?
You didn't tell them. You told me.
2 weeks ago. So she had said, you know, new book up on my website. And I was like, oh, awesome. I'm going to go over. This must be the newest one in her college series. Like, I'm in it. I need to get it. I have to have the paperback. So I order it because, you know, I'm like, it's really cute and it looks great with the iced out object cover.
And she doesn't pay attention to the description at all.
Did not read the description. Didn't even care about the price because it was more expensive than just a regular paperback. It was an omnibus of all the stories that she has out right now. In one thick, chunky book.
It is real pretty.
What does that look like? Oh. I'm on her website right now. Like, I feel like I need that.
Starting lineup. And it does have a bonus novella, but
It does look pretty. It's pretty. So well.
Right.
And it's only $25.
Right. It was only
$20. Really is actually not that bad.
And
for
she,
an omnibus.
And she added, like, you know.
She has the best swag, you guys.
Her swag. Oh my God. And so, the next book coming out is called Switched Off, coming soon. Her Heston U.
Were you on the phone with Bonnie when you opened it?
I might have been. I might have been on the phone with Bonnie. We were supposed to be working. And Chris brought it to me. But yeah. Anyway. So here, look. I bought it in a... I said I was done buying it in different renditions. I lied. Amanda's just like shaking her head at me.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at my list.
No, that's because she's thinking I would totally do that if it was like Alona Andrews or LJ.
Who are you talking?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all have a book that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That we've bought our multiple copies of. Okay, does anyone else want to talk about the books they were reading in 2016?
Okay, so what I thought was really, I don't know what this says about me, but like my favorite books that I was reading in 2016 are still my favorite books.
So maybe they were
They're
just
some of
helping me
mine.
cope so much that they've stuck.
Same. I was reading Cold Fury in Cleveland Clinic, and I love them.
Yeah, mine was Penny Reed and Cambria Herbert. And yeah, that's I yeah.
Those are the people Jenny actually buys to put on her shelf.
Yes.
What about you, Heather? What were you reading in 2016 that you just can't let go?
I don't, I mean, I would say the super spicy, like the Sylvia Day. Like I got to meet her in Denver, and it was such a highlight for me because I've been reading her for so long.
Yeah, it was her. And so after 50 Shades, you went to Crossfire series, and then you went to the Laura Lynn Page, her
And the
Hudson.
Maya Banks.
Oh, well, Maya Banks. She was still, no, 2017 is when she stopped putting her books stopped.
Oh, really? Been that long?
It's been a long
I'm
time.
pretty sure that that's when that one pre-order kept getting pushed back and finally got canceled in like 2021.
Here, let me see what the
Go
last
look on
KGI is.
Fantastic Fiction and see when her last published book was.
I have fantasy that one up right now,
Will
actually.
you do that?
Whoops.
Maya Banks wrote these super sexy, it was her Simple series, and they were like just super sexy BDSM, like.
I read something the other day by her. It wasn't that, well, no, it might have been that Billionaire Baby series that I was reading. There wasn't a ton of plot in those.
There was never any plot. I mean, in her KGI series, there was
There's
plot.
lots of plot in
The
KGI.
last book I can see right now is Wherever You Are, and that was released in 2021.
Okay, but look under KGI. When was the last KGI book?
It says 2021.
Really? Did we get one in 2021?
Wherever You Are?
No. No, 2021.
That got
That
canceled.
was when the last
What was the
update for
one
the
before that?
pre-order.
When was the
The one
one?
before that is,
Brighter Than the Sun.
yeah.
Which is
And that was
2017.
2017.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So.
the next one was the one that she was supposed to write instead of Rusty's fucking book. And bitch, it never ended up coming out.
You know,
So there's
Amanda will never
no.
read these books, right? Because their series is incomplete. She
Don't
cannot
read them,
handle it.
Amanda. They're so wonderful, but don't read them because you will
There is
just
not
be
one that was
angry like I
released
am.
no
in 2016.
Yeah.
Actually, that the
Fascinating.
12 of 12 says 2079 now. Like it's not available, but it's like the date on it, like on the Amazon page, is 2079.
Maybe that's when her estate releases it.
Maybe.
Maybe. Tessa Dare Historicals, she pretty much stopped during COVID. She did. Okay. Does anybody else have any other books they want to talk about before we go on to the next thing?
Nope.
No. Amanda, are you going back into paranormal, romantasy, fantasy, and saying fuck it to contemporary?
I mean, no, I don't think I'll stop reading contemporary, but
Because of NetGalley.
I am very much back into paranormal
Totally fair.
fantasy, urban
Yes, that
fantasy.
one
Yeah,
that
it's
you
heavy.
quote
The one that
me.
you
Oh.
texted me about today, is that fantasy? It is urban fantasy, and it's funny because it's Faith Hunter is the author, and actually 2016 is when I started reading her, and I binged all of her stuff in 2016, and then we were talking to a publisher. She has a new one coming out in July, so I was very excited about that. But yeah, it's funny because I was like, oh, this is the year I started reading her, and now I read everything she's ever written, so
Quote me on this now, but I think next year at this time, paranormal romance will be having its
yeah,
rebirth. I think that
it's about
I can
fucking
see it. It
time.
was you can slowly start to see it happening. And Jen Ellen says KGI forever. That's right.
KGI is wonderful, but you'll be very
It's
angry.
worth it though. It's worth it for
I
those
mean, it is. Like,
stories.
I'm not sad that I didn't read that series. I'm very happy that I did. I'm just very, like, frustrated that we're never getting that book.
Fair. Okie doke. So that's what we were reading. That's what we know about 2016. I will say that there will be a Substack coming in the next couple days where I'm going to share some of the parallels that was happening in publishing 2016 to what is currently happening in 2026 with publishing and all that. And one of the common denominators is, you know, an orange clown. Anyway, okay. It's that time.
It's that time
for Book of the Week. Book of the Week time. Leah, you're up first. What's your Book of the Week?
My Book of the Week is not actually a romance, but because I didn't know it wasn't one when I read it. It's that Katie Reyes book. It's called Neighbor, Liar, Lover. I can't remember the title off the top of my head. I'm trying to look, but... So it is actually a really interesting premise. So the heroine of the story is on the phone with her sister when she gets murdered. The sister does. And so the whole story follows her sister lives in this affluent neighborhood where people are cheating on each other. There's a nanny that's sleeping with people and like all these things. And so it's like so she is an investigator a lot of people don't know she is, so she's investigating on the sly, but like she's learning all these things. But it's really interesting the way she wrote it, because the heroine's like point of view is all first person, but there's multiple points of view, but those are all in third, so it switches between first and third. But the way that she set it up was actually like, it didn't really bug me, because like you didn't get confused or bogged down by the points of views. But yeah, there's secrets and lies, and it was really good. But like I said, I went into it not realizing it's not a romance, because there's like romance elements, like her and the detective of the case, like mm-hmm. They have a little like intrigue as the book progresses, yeah. But it was really good.
Intrigue. Ooh.
Jenny, what's your Book of the Week?
I don't think I have one. The book I'm reading right now is not great. So
okay. Jenny's like, no books this week.
No.
Heather, what's your Book of the Week?
I feel a little guilty telling you guys about it, because I didn't realize it doesn't release until May 28th. But it is Welcoming the Recluse by Nora Phoenix. It is book 7 in the Forestville Silver Fox series. It's an MM romance, and it's a former military guy. He is dealing with PTSD, and he kind of recluses himself to a mountain. And then the other male character is a doctor. They're both single dads. They're over 40. It's really, really good. A lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. Super duper duper slow burn, and it was so good.
Okay. Amanda, what's your Book of the Week?
My Book of the Week is Seek the Traitor's Son by Veronica Roth. It releases on May 12th. This is her new dystopian mm-hmm. series. It is dystopian romantic fantasy, so there is a romance line. This book is so good. I was just like, it took me, I spent days on it, because I would go back and reread chapters. But the main premise is, so this is an Earth that is well beyond Earth that we, as we know it now. And the majority of the planet is controlled by, they call it the fever, and you get infected and basically you die, and you either wake up after 2 days or you don't. And so that's the majority of the planet. And then there's another section of the planet where our heroine Elegy lives, and they keep themselves like, kind of sequestered from the fever. They're at war with the rest of Earth, and there's a prophecy that involves Elegy and some other people. And when I tell you, like on chapter 7 of this book, it's like 10% in, like everything explodes. Like I was shocked. Like I just like full on shocked at what happens. And then you jump forward like 4 years, and I can't even explain it.
Does it end in a cliffhanger? Because this is,
I was gonna say, is she writing this one as a trilogy?
It's a trilogy. It does end in a cliffhanger, but the main kind of like a lot of the plot points wrap up in this one, and then you're moving to like the next portion of the prophecy in book two. So, but yeah, oh my god,
it's so it's a cliffy, but like it's okay.
I
at the same
mean,
time.
yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, if you're okay with waiting because she's, you know, it's gonna be a while before the next one
It's a
comes
book a
out, but
year.
it's
Yeah.
so good. It's so good. I
I'm
was
gonna
just
have to
like, oh wow.
wait.
The audio also releases the same day, and it's 19 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long book. Let me
That's
see
a
what it
beefy
says on
book.
the, yeah, it's 418 pages. But it's so good.
But
And then I'm
she's
actually
very
seeing
detailed in the
her.
way she creates her worlds, though.
Yeah, she is. And I'm actually seeing her 2 days later after the release at an event close by.
Perfect.
So I'm very excited.
Exciting.
It is exciting.
Awesome.
Are you be able to talk to her?
No, it's more of a like at a bookstore situation where
Mm.
she's like addressing, like it's almost like a panel situation. She's going to be there
Oh, that's
with
nice.
H.M. Wolfe, and there's going to be like kind of like she's going to be as like a moderator. So
Oh, that's cool.
Fun,
yeah.
fun, fun.
Oh, hey, I did look up my book. It's Neighbor Liar Killer.
Neighbor Liar Killer. Got it.
It's very good.
My book of the week, I tried a new author, The Air by Sophia Travers. It has an illustrated cover. I kind of thought that it was going to be mafia the way that the description reads. It's not, sort of.
What is it called then?
It is a marriage of convenience between two heirs from rival families, like billionaire families.
Okay.
Heated hate between the main characters, Aiden and Emery. It's out there, like they have to sell the we're in love story while tension between them is basically screaming the truth. If you liked, what was the Sophie Lark book that we read that with the strawberries?
Brutal
Prince. Brutal
Yeah.
Prince.
So if you liked that book, then you would like this book.
Do you feel like this is better written than that,
Yes.
though? Okay.
Yes. Top tier banter. This book sold me. It moved so fast in the banter. It was really easy to read.
I like a bantery book.
The audio is done by Andy Arndt and Aidan Snow. And I think their voices are too old.
Oops.
She's like mid to late 20s. He's early 30s. And
I mean, Aiden maybe, but
no.
Andy definitely not.
He just sounds old.
Yeah.
It's okay.
They're old.
It's
And
okay to
we're
sound
old,
old. We're
though.
old.
Yeah. We
But,
are,
like, you
yes.
know, she says some things. There are some lines in it that Andy Arndt says, and it's like, it was cringy because, no offense, a 60-year-old, 50-year-old, 40-year-old woman isn't saying that.
So it's like us saying those things, and it's weird.
Yeah. Because a 20-year-old can say it. We cannot say
Can you
it.
give me an example?
I'll pull some quotes. I did the audio, so.
It.
Okay. So,
Because I may say those things.
I say him just to be cringe with my kids. Other day,
Yes,
Chris
my
said something, and I
point.
was like, fire. And he's like, shut up. Anyway, I'm told to shut up
I
daily.
don't see Christopher saying stuff like
I
that,
called
though.
Justin bro today.
Called him a
He
bro.
goes, bro. I go, are you good, bro? And he, and oh, Liam and Justin are like, yeah, don't do that again.
Don't do that.
Michael does it ironically to annoy the kids, but
No. Okay, so everybody knows we're off Wednesdays for now through the summer. We are going to be off for Mother's Day. So next Sunday is Mother's Day. And I'm just going to be real for real. Mother's Day has hit me a little hard this year. And so I'm going to take the day and spend the day with the people in this house. At least Mike. The other three might not want anything to do with me, but
not the people that made you a mother.
yeah, the people that made me a mother just aren't interested. Okay, so that's our little trip through back to romance history of 2016. 2016 was a wild time. Let's just say that.
Sounds
It
like
was
it.
just wild.
Very much.
It's a good time reading for me.
You know what? I was a better reader in 2016. I read so many more books in 2016. I think two, no, I guess that was more like 2017, 2018 is when I started doing Ice Planet Barbarians. Anyway.
Impressive.
Anyway, if you can think of your favorite book from 2016, make sure you comment, like, and share it with us. We'd like to know what you were reading in 2016. And as always, thank you so much for hanging out with us. You can support us over on the Patreon. We have one tier for $5. And we'll be back on Sunday, April the 17th. I don't know what we're talking about.
May.
Did I say we're April? Doing,
you did.
You said April.
I said April.
We're doing Smash or Pass.
Somebody should write that like script.
In harmony there.
Somebody should write what we're smashing and bashing.
No, we got time.
Okay. Anyway, until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at @BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at @BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.